Luke 15 and verse number 1 this morning. Today we'll look at God is a loving shepherd. God is a loving shepherd. Luke 15 and verse number 1, we'll read down just to verse number 7 this morning. The Word of God begins by saying, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Lord, as we study the simple truth this morning that you are a loving shepherd, teach us from your word. Show us, Lord, that even though we're lost, and you are searching for us to bring us home. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Brother Nate, would you turn me down just a little bit? I feel a little hot this morning. Sorry. It's good to be back with you today. Last Sunday, I guess if you weren't here last Sunday, you wouldn't know, but I was invited to preach down there in Lighthouse Baptist Chillicothe. They asked us to come and to kind of share what God has been doing here in Circleville over the past year. And even recently, we were able to share just what God has been doing, having so many folks baptized and saved here through the ministries. And it was a blessing to be able to share that. I do love the people of Lighthouse Baptist Chillicothe. That was the ministry I was saved through. But I love you guys more. And Sierra and I were kind of talking. It's just kind of funny. That was our home church at one point in time. But now anytime, which it's seldom, but anytime we ever are away on a Sunday morning, you just feel like, when you come back, you're just home. All right. So enough of the gushy stuff. This morning, we're back in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15. And as we studied today, a couple weeks ago, we looked at a simple truth that God is a loving father. And this morning we're looking at another simple truth. God is a loving shepherd. You know, just last weekend, I had the privilege to be to run in a race down in Chillicothe. It's called the Buck 50. It's a 150-mile relay race that they put on to benefit the drug-free clubs of America. I think actually some of the local schools had went down to Chillicothe at one point to march in the drug-free march, which obviously just a wonderful cause there. But there were 10 people on our team, which equates to everyone running an average of 15 miles apiece. And they break that down into 3 legs each. So all 10 runners will run, and then you'll run again, and then a third time to equal just over 150 miles. And it starts at Ohio University Chillicothe, and it makes a trip around Ross County, and then finishes back at OUC there at the branch. The team that I was on is called Go LBC, as in Lighthouse Baptist Church, because it was comprised mainly of folks from Lighthouse Chillicothe, and then myself, and actually the youth pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church in Xenia. And so we had a bunch of us LBC folks that were on the team. And by the grace of God, we took second place overall out of nearly 80 teams in this event. And again, it was purely by God's grace that we did that. And everybody ran a great race. But the way it works is this. Our first runner was a girl whose name is, Danielle. And she took off at about 10 p.m. on Friday. Now, they stagger the start times because they want everybody to finish around the same time. If everybody started at the same time, the faster teams would finish first, the slower teams would be hours and hours behind. It took us just under 20 hours to complete the race. And so it's a long race. It's an all-nighter that you're pulling. Danielle took off at 10 p.m. That was the last heat to start. There are six teams in the last heat. So by estimation, one of those six teams is going to win the race just based on the time they submitted, what they thought they were going to finish. When Danielle finished her run, she's a beast, she's awesome. She had passed one of the guys, and she handed it off to our second runner, and we were in fifth place at that point in time. Now our second runner is Pastor Ryan Bevan, okay? And he is the man when it comes, well, he's just a man, but especially when it comes to running, he is just an animal. And he had some caffeine flowing through his veins. I think he took a 5-hour energy shot as well. And when he took off, man, I thought his hair was on fire. He was moving so fast. I mean, he just took off. And he is trying to catch the guy in fourth place, okay? We're able to monitor on our phones where the runners are during the race. So we're watching on the screen the little circle that says Ryan Bevan, Team Go LBC. And he's gaining on this guy. And we're like, come on! You know, we're like screaming at our phone, come on! And he catches all the way up. And on our screens, all we see is their neck and neck, the entire leg. And so, all I'm thinking is, man, runner three is really going to have a time on his hands if they get the baton at the same time. Now, I'm runner three, okay? And I'm thinking, man, just give me, I need all the help I can get, preacher. Give me a little lead here is what I'm thinking. And sure enough, it's nighttime and all we hear is the volunteer's walkie-talkie goes off and it says, we got two runners coming. There's two of them coming. And so I'm like, you know, my anxiety is raising, my stress level. Like I said, I had a little caffeine flowing through my veins as well, a little pre-workout. No, not, I didn't take any of that, but I'm like, about to, you know, take off. I'm ready. And all I see is I see Pastor Ryan coming. He's ahead of the guy. And I'm thinking, come on. Give me all the lead I can get. And he hands me the baton, which is just a slap bracelet, which is fun. So he slaps the baton on me. And I take off, man. And I probably ran faster at that moment than I ever have in my life. I was so stressed because I knew that guy is coming any second. And so I get the baton, I take off running, and I am just blazing out of there. I'm drooling everywhere, and man, I'm like, I'm amped, anxiety, adrenaline, plus the fact that I know this guy's coming for me, okay? He gives me about I think it was just around a 10-second lead. And I know I have about a mile running in the woods on trails before we get out onto the road. And all I'm thinking is, ain't no way I'm letting this guy catch me in these woods, all right? And we take off, and I can see his headlamp. Now, mind you, by the time I started running, it's midnight, okay? We're in the woods. It's pitch black. The only two lights are my headlight and his headlight. And you know how they say when you're running, you're not supposed to look behind you? I could not help it, guys. It was, have you ever been chased by somebody? I mean, really chased? It's scary, okay? And I'm in the pitch black in this woods. I don't know this guy. I don't know what he's going to do. And I'm thinking, I got to get as far away as fast as I can. And I just keep turning around doing one of these. And I see his headlamp. Now, the problem is, at midnight, you're going up hills, round corners. I can't tell how far away he is. So I don't know if he's just, you know, 30 feet away from me or 100 yards away from me. All I see is this headlamp just bobbing in the darkness. And I tell you what, my anxiety was through the roof, thinking the whole time I feel like I'm, you know, running for my life, like this guy's hunting me down or something. Now, praise God, he never did catch me, all right? And I handed off the baton to our next runner, which is Sarah Bevan, Pastor Ryan's wife, and she is, you know, just as much or not more of an animal. She took off, and we never saw that team again, all right? They never caught back up to us. But it was just that feeling of fear and panic, knowing that someone he's chasing me, he's after me. And it was the thought that at any moment, he could catch up to me. He could catch me. Can I kind of just share my heart? The Lord's been really just kind of laying this on my heart, but you know, there are some people here, I'm not ignorant to know that there are some people here today who are not saved. And friend, if I could just plead with you, the judgment for your sin is chasing you down. At any moment, it could catch you. And maybe you're here today and you just have been putting off Jesus and thinking another time, but friend, you're gambling with your eternity. That's not something you want to mess with. It's chasing you down. My prayer today is that you will see in God a loving shepherd. You know, there's a story that's told. This isn't in the Bible, so don't look for it because you'll be confused, okay? But it's a fictional story that a preacher once told as an illustration. He said there was one evening when Satan gathered together three of the captains of his demon army. And he gathered them and he said, okay, and he had these three captains and he said, we have to figure out another lie to tell the world in order to deceive them. And the first demon said, well, I got it. I know what we can tell them. We can tell them that there's no heaven. And Satan said, no, that won't work. Everybody believes in heaven. We like to think that we're going to a better place. That's not going to cut it. The second demon said, well, we can tell them. I got it. How about we tell them there's no hell? And Satan said, oh, I don't know about that either. If people believe in heaven, then they probably are going to believe in a hell. Even so, most people believe even the most wicked people are going to go to some form of hell. So what else do we have? Then the third demon thought for a moment. And he said, I got it. Let's not tell them that there's no heaven or that there's no hell, but just tell them there's no hurry. There's no hurry. And there have been so many people who have believed that lie all the way to hell. I have time. I can get saved. I just have some other things in my life I need to work out right now. I can put it off. I can wait. Friend, God is a loving shepherd, and He's here to welcome you home. Jesus is again teaching in parables. He's telling the story to teach a lesson. Jesus was the best storyteller of all time. Today we study the parable of the lost sheep. So He takes an object, sheep, which would resonate with just about everyone who is listening. There were sheep and shepherds everywhere. In the sacrificial system, if you were Jewish, a lamb was used for sacrifice. Sheep were as familiar to them as dogs and cats are to us today. The meaning of this parable is simple and yet it's profound. Lost humans need a loving, personal Savior. Jesus taught this lesson three times in succession to drive home His meaning. He said there's a lost sheep, there's a lost coin, and there's a lost son or lost sons. And it's important to understand who Jesus is talking to. In Luke 15 and verse number 1, it tells us the two groups of people. Remember these two groups. It says, then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. That's the first group. And the Pharisees and scribes were there as well. The Pharisees were the self-righteous, religious crowd of that day. And the publicans and sinners were just that. People in society who lived an immoral public life. Jesus is talking about lost things. You ever lost something before? How many of you glasses wearers have lost your glasses only to find them on your face before? Anybody like that? All right. There's a moment of panic that comes when you realize you've lost something, isn't there? That moment where you think, where's my phone? Something of value. Where's my wallet? Where's my child? You know, we've been there, okay? But there is kind of that moment of panic of, oh no, it's lost. And immediately you begin thinking, where is it? Where is it? This morning, let's reflect on the lessons learned from one lost sheep today. Number one, we have the sheep. Look down to Luke 15 and verse 4. It tells us about this sheep. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Now the shepherd here is symbolic of God. So who does that make us in the story? The sheep. That's who we are. You know, there are prey and there are predators. We like to see ourselves as the predators. We're the wolves, you know. We're the lions. We're the bears. We're the predators. But the Bible says we're the prey. We're sheep. Now, I don't know how many. I'm sure there maybe are some. But you think about some of these mascots for these sports teams. I don't know of too many fighting sheep, right? The mighty sheep. It's kind of a contradiction of terms, isn't it? And my daughter, Gracie, plays soccer for Upward. And all the teams, they're the Panthers, the Lions, the Cheetahs. They're the hunters, you know. Let's name our team after the hunted, the prey. We'll bat you to death. We'll give you the little geeky geeky feet. We'll kick you, you know. How does that go? You better watch out. We'll hoof you. But that's exactly what the Bible calls us. It says we are sheep. Now think about sheep for a moment. I know some of you, many of you have dogs and cats. I know some of you that have chickens. Does anyone have sheep? Anybody here? No one? Ever had sheep? Anyone ever had sheep? Now there's a few more hands, okay? Think about sheep for a moment. Have you ever wondered why God refers to us as sheep in the Bible? It's not really a compliment. Sheep are not the most intelligent animals. They're very easily scared, and they have a tendency to wander away. Does that sound like anyone you know? Sheep will often follow each other to their own detriment. There's a story reported back in 2005 that 450 sheep leapt to their deaths in a Turkic village. The chain reaction started when one sheep went over the cliff, enticing nearly 1,500 others to follow. Now, apparently, they had made such a puffy mound at the bottom that only 450 of them lost their lives. So they cushioned the fall after a while is what happened. Man, talk about the first shall be last, right? This is not the day you want to be in the front of the line. They followed each other. Even though they knew there was danger, they continued in the same path. God got it right when he said, we are sheep. Psalm 100 verse 3 says this, know ye that the Lord he is God, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We're sheep. But praise God for a loving shepherd. Psalm chapter 23, verse 1. This is maybe one of the most famous psalms in all of the Bible. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2 continues, Psalm 23, verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Why? Because sheep are so anxious, so fearful, they need the protection of a shepherd. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know why the waters have to be still? Because if the waters are rumbling, the sheep are going to get scared and run away. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, not my own name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse number 5 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God for a loving shepherd. In our parable that Jesus tells, we have a lost sheep. Now understand, a lost sheep was not unusual, okay? But a lost sheep is a dead sheep. On its own, it would not survive. It was helpless. It needed a shepherd. They are expected to be cared for. And shepherds, as a matter of fact, are expected to lose sheep. You know, it's said in certain Palestinian cultures that the shepherd would sign a contract when he would take someone's flock to care for them. And the contract would say something along the lines of that they were expected to bring back 80% of the sheep. Just 80%. Think, well, what would happen to the other 20? They were expected to lose some. You know, the average flock would have anywhere from 20 to 200 sheep. The shepherds would often work together. That was their currency. Now, our shepherd in the story has 100 sheep. So that's somewhat of a normal size flock. But they were expected to lose some. A sheep gets sick, doesn't recover, it dies. They lose a sheep. We already mentioned the wild animals, the predators that would come to kill the sheep, the wolves, the lions. You know, in King David's day, one of the famous stories about King David is what? A story about how he was a shepherd. He protected his sheep from a lion and a bear, oh my, that came in to grab those suckers. And he fought them and killed the lion and he killed the bear. The predators would come. So, hey, you might lose one here. They might pick one off over here. They get sick. Wild animals would come or they would wander off. This shepherd has 100. He's only expected to bring back around 80. The fact that he would leave the 99 was just unheard of. It doesn't make sense. You can imagine as Jesus is telling the story, it really was resonating with his listeners because they're probably thinking, this story would never happen. Why would we leave for one geeky sheep? We have 99 we have to care for. You can imagine Jesus has their attention. You would never leave the 99 for the one. No one would care for one sheep that much. Do you see a picture of the loving shepherd here? The world sees a lost cause. The world sees a waste of time. And yet God sees an opportunity for grace. One geeky sheep. And I love that song by Bethel Music, Reckless Love. Anybody heard that song on the radio, maybe? It says, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I don't deserve it. I couldn't earn it. Still, you gave yourself away. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. These listeners wouldn't be able to comprehend why a shepherd would do this. And what an amazing picture of the love of God. The love of God is beyond human comprehension. It doesn't make sense. Romans 8:35 tells us about the love that Jesus has for us. It asks this question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Maybe that's a question you've asked yourself. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. That is incomprehensible. It doesn't make sense. Why would God give all of that to rescue one little sheep? And yet we find that God cares about the one, doesn't he? It was C.S. Lewis that said, "He died not for men, but for each man. If each man had been the only man, he would have done no less." God deeply cares and loves us personally as individuals, not as a group collectively. Obviously, he gave his life for the church, but he loves you personally as a child. We are valuable to him, and he will seek far and wide to bring us back home to him. You know, you don't have to look very far to find a lost sheep. Believers, we need to understand that as well. As we're out and we're telling people about the loving shepherd, you don't have to go very far to find someone who's a lost sheep. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him," that's Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." Jesus was called the what? The Lamb of God, right? And yet what God did, he took all the wandering sheep and all of their sin, and he laid it upon the Lamb of God, the only Lamb who never wandered away. Our iniquity was placed on him, and he became our sacrificial lamb so that all we other sheep could return to the shepherd. Look now to verse 5 of Luke 15. It says this, "And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing." I want you to understand here, it says when he, who's he? The shepherd, hath found it. What is it? Were it. When he hath found it. Do you understand that the sheep doesn't find its way back? He doesn't find the shepherd. It is the shepherd who finds the sheep. See, God is the one who does the seeking. We wonder, and we have to make sure we don't give ourselves too much credit, thinking as if we have somehow found God. It is he who has found us. Luke 19:10, it tells us that our Jesus is a seeking Savior. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And sometimes we are far, far away, and he leaves the 99 to track us down. Other preachers have written about the endless pursuit of God in our lives. Think about the time in your life before you were saved when you feel that you were the furthest away from the Lord and he was recklessly pursuing after you, even in that time. No matter how far you strayed away, he continued to come after you. He is the seeking shepherd. The shepherd puts himself at risk to save the sheep. He calls Jesus the good shepherd. Here's what Jesus says in John 10:11. "I am the good shepherd." It says the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He not only searches for the lost sheep, but he is willing to die for the lost sheep. He lays down his life just to bring you home. Now we see the great joy that comes from one sheep being found. Look again to verse number 5. It says, "And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing." Verse 6 says, "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, and saith unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know, there's a moment a few chapters later in the book of Luke where there's a man who is a publican, which means he's a tax collector. He was seen as a sinner in society, a wicked person, on the same level as a prostitute were tax collectors. That's how they were viewed. And there's a moment in the book of Luke where there's a Pharisee who's praying. And he prays and he says, God, thank you that I am not like this publican, this sinner. And then you have the publican who prays. And the Bible says that he smote upon his chest and he would not lift up his eyes unto heaven, but said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible asks us this question: which one do you think was justified before God? One sinner coming to repentance. Maybe you likewise have stood on that same soil as the publican when you cried out to God and said, God, please be merciful to me, a sinner. There's great joy that comes. You know, in the beginning of our chapter, if you ever hear of somebody murmuring in the New Testament, there's a 99.9% chance it's the Pharisees that are doing it. So if you see the word murmur, you're probably going to find the word Pharisee close to it. But we see in the beginning of the chapter, it tells us the Pharisees murmured, but what is heaven doing? Rejoicing. They're celebrating. Should we not as well rejoice with the angels in heaven and celebrate when someone gets saved? If somebody buys a new house, you're going to go to them and say, congratulations. If they get a new job or even a new car, oh wow, that's great. If somebody gets married, then we'll bring gifts and presents and celebration and party over what's going on. And then even further, as they begin to have children, every baby that comes, we're praising God over that. How much more celebration should come over one sinner coming to repentance, one person getting saved? If the shepherd takes joy in rescuing a single sheep, how much more praise is there in the salvation of one sinner? If the angels get excited about it, we should get excited about it. If we announce or we have somebody walk the aisle and get saved, sometimes I feel like, hey, somebody got saved, and you'd think I just told you somebody kicked your dog. Do we understand what it means when somebody gets saved? That they're moved from condemnation to forgiven, from death to life, from guilty to pardon, from child of Satan to child of God. They were with a debt they couldn't pay, and now Jesus has paid it in full. You know, there are many miracles in the Bible. Maybe you have a favorite. But if I were to ask you, what is the greatest miracle? I wonder what you might say. There are many amazing miracles. You think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three men delivered from the burning fiery furnace. God rescued them. He closed the mouth of lions. He demolished the walls of Jericho. Blind men saw, lame men walked, dead men lived. God parted the Red Sea, and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. There are many, but none of these are the greatest miracle in my opinion. The greatest miracle, at least in my mind, is not when God shakes the earth, but when God shakes the heart of a person and changes their life completely. Because it's that miracle that changes their eternity. How could we say there's a greater miracle than that? We are lost in our sin. But there is a loving shepherd who wants to bring you home. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Friend, there are two things that are chasing you down right now. Your sin and the judgment for your sin is coming. But you also have the endless, reckless love of God pursuing hard after you. We can continue to put it off, or we can give into His love and let Him save us, put us on His shoulders, and bring us home. Would you stand with me this morning?